Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Glad to see you made it in another day, right?
Yes. The warden let me out another day.
Yeah, well, we've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to certainly spend most of the hour, I think, talking Syria, because I'm really conflicted. I texted you earlier today and disturbed on a number of issues, and the Twitterverse is also, you know, a lot of people are trying to guess what's going on with Trump and the change and what's up with Syria. But let's take care of a little business before we do that. Next Sunday is Easter, right? And Easter brunch at the Whitmore Lake Golf Links. Now, it's not only a great place to go golfing, it's one of the most prettiest courses you've ever been to, but they do a great brunch there. So next week, they've got the omelet station and sausage, biscuits, bacon, waffles, fruit, you name it, roast beef, baked chicken. It's like the full-blown brunch, right? Yeah, you're salivating already. And you can reach them at 734-449-4653. That's the Links of Whitmore Lake. It's a great golf course, but they have a great clubhouse too. 734-449-4653. And they're on 6 Mile Road. So check it out. You probably want to make a reservation because this is a pretty popular place. You can contact Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, at WhitmoreLakeGolfLinks.com. Or just call them up, 449-4653. Tell them you heard it here. It's a great place to do a brunch next Sunday. Yes.
And that information is at the Daily Drift.
Oh, you can go to currentonline.com. It's in the latest. They advertised with us this month, so glad to have them aboard with us. But a great place to do brunch, so check it out. And it's a beautiful golf course. It really is. Okay, so before we get into the flaming Syria here, I did want to talk about Neil Gorsuch, right? And the Senate did the nuclear. I heard someone say, we shouldn't be using the nuclear option thing because it's really not
the Reid rule. Let's make it straight. It's the Reid rule. Harry invented it.
And so they, Mitch McConnell went ahead and did what he was supposed to do. They put Gorsuch in. And let me assure you, all those Democratic senators who said no to him, I think almost all of them to a T, voted for Gorsuch for a lower court. And all of a sudden, because they don't like Trump, because they're being politically inclined to their own party's agenda, they're voting no, and they are the ones to blame for not having 60 votes.
Yep. Diane, what's your face?
And that includes Debbie Stabenow, right? Our own Debbie Stabenow, who was up for election in 2018. We want to run somebody against her
defeat
and get rid of her. She is a lousy person. And I just want to see Debbie Stabenow raises more money out of state than in state. Okay, $2.8 million raised in state, $3.2 million raised out of state. So that should tell you she's not raising money from the people of Michigan. She's going with these outside liberal interests who are trying to do things like stop a good guy like Neil Gorsuch from getting into office as an associate justice on the SCOTUS. So pretty pathetic, if you ask me, and just aggravating. So
I'd like to point out that I've been reading about the unprecedented and the historic selection of a Supreme Court nominee. And what's really historic, what's really unprecedented is that the Democrats or that any party would filibuster a Supreme Court nominee. That's what's unprecedented. And so to retaliate by going nuclear is just a normal reaction to an abnormal situation that the Republicans found themselves in vis-a-vis the Democratic Party.
Yeah. I mean, the Republicans did not do that to Obama's guy.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
When it came down to Neil Garland, right, Merrick, you know what? That was following the rules previously set by the Dems, too. He was in his last year in office, and the people of the United States voted Trump in partially based on the fact that we wanted him to fill the seat. We trusted him to fill that seat, not Hillary Clinton.
It's the Biden rule.
Yeah, and that was Debbie Stabenow, I think we played last week, saying, people did speak, Debbie. We elected Trump to fill the position. Screw you, Debbie. That's the way it comes down to. So, anyways, we're done with that. There was also another terror attack And, of course, they're dancing around the fact that the guy's a Muslim. They don't want to come right out and tell his name. And he's an Uzbeki migrant in Sweden. And he got in a truck and he mowed a bunch of people down, including children. Now, they'll show pictures of the children who died in Syria from an alleged gas attack, but they're not showing the bodies of these poor children in Sweden who got killed. So, you know, there's a little hypocrisy there as well. But once again, another Islamic radical terror attack. And come on, just this is what happens when you bring in non-like-minded people to your country. You're going to get this kind of action. Well, let's take a quick call. He's going to jump the gun on us, aren't you, Ken? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, since you were going to talk about Syria, I wanted to bring up an aspect that our government and our media is not bringing up, and that is, now I happen to have the opportunity to speak to some pastors affiliated with the Antiochian Orthodox Church, which they're Syrian. They have ties to the Christians that are left in Syria, and the point that they've pointed out is that Assad has never been a threat to the Christian community. Assad has the support of the Orthodox Church. And the people that Assad he's fighting against, these people are the ones who have been killing the Christians, slaughtering the Christians, including little babies, the ones Assad's at war with. They're the ones who have been destroying the Christian churches. So who exactly really is the enemy? And I don't think, there again, Assad is not a saint. But I'll tell you from what I've been hearing, not just from them, but from others, we're fighting the wrong enemy here.
Yeah, well, you're not alone, Ken, because there's a lot of people and a lot of really supportive Trump supporters who have an issue with this.
Yeah.
And because it kind of goes against everything he's talked about. And I'm reserving my judgment at this point because, you know what, I'm waiting for more evidence to come in. You know, I'm like you. Number one, let's just go there. From a common sense standpoint, and there's nothing saying that Bashar al-Assad is a common sense guy. When people say he's a madman, Ed, like you and I talked earlier, I don't know that he's a madman. He's obviously a very shrewd, smart, maybe an evil person. But a crazy madman doing things... And where is the upside to him to have used chemical weapons when he's actually winning the war right now? He's got the world, including the United States, as of 72 hours ago, we're like, yeah, we're not going to go with regime change. And all of a sudden he decides to use a chemical weapon.
Such a small target like we were talking about.
On a small target, killing 80 people. I mean, you could have killed 80 people with
hand
a bomb.
Grenades.
You didn't need
hand grenades.
I'm not buying. And of course, we don't have all the intel. I'm sure Trump and the General Mattis and the rest of them have that intel. But for me, from a strictly common sense standpoint, I don't understand the upside to Bashar al-Assad using that chemical weapon.
Well, here's another point that's being ignored. Now, when we were fighting World War II, and we were doing carpet bombing in Germany, we didn't limit our carpet bombing to military targets and factories.
Dresden.
We were bombing neighborhoods because what was happening was people living in these neighborhoods would go and fix the factories, start building more weapons. So we weren't limiting our attacks in Germany. Same thing with Japan. When we dropped the bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I don't think we were focusing on military targets. And so when we go to war, we go to war. And so what's this ridiculous idea that, well, we can't hit the women and children and the old men. We just have to hit military targets.
That is, Ken. You're dead right. That's the hypocrisy, and this is part of the problem why the United States has lost so many men in military actions in Afghanistan and
rules of engagement.
And Iraq. Yeah, it's the rules of engagement. You know what? The idea for war is to get in, demoralize them so badly they quit, that the population that still exists rises up and says, we're done. We're not supporting any more war either. We don't want to be firebombed into oblivion, you know? And I think all it does is drag it out. That makes these conflicts last longer if you're going to do that, you know?
You know, Ken, my wife, my beautiful wife, Sherry, and I were talking last night. We were talking about Assad, and she was asking me about what I knew about him. And I said, to my thinking, he reminds me of a Michael Corleone. He was a Western-educated guy, married an American beauty queen, got into the family business when his dad died, and he's basically been doing what he's got to do for the position he's in, and it's corrupting him as he's going along.
Yeah, could be right. Ken, what else you got?
Right, absolutely. Well, then again, when we look at the whole thing that's going on over there, now we're shedding tears in America for these poor, innocent people that were killed by Assad. But wait a minute, these same people that were killed have been killing babies, women, old men in Syria who were Christians. And yet there's no outcry against the Christians being killed by
exactly.
these same people that now we're crying over them.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason that some people are raising the old false flag issue, you know. Is this real? What's going on? And frankly, some people are looking at the pictures of the rescuers going in. They're not prepared properly, and maybe they wouldn't be, but it makes you wonder, if this were a concerted attempt to use chemical weapons, wouldn't have there been hundreds and hundreds dead? It bothers me a little bit. And of course, the Syrians are denying it, and the Russians are denying it. And I'm not saying one way or the other, because I'm not making a judgment call yet, because I'm not convinced either way. But it just bothers me from a common sense standpoint. What was the upside to Bashar al-Assad and or the Russians, if they were involved, to use chemical weapons when the world was kind of accepting the fact that, we're just going to let Assad stay there. We'll figure out a way to end this another way.
Well, I still side with the Orthodox Church because of the fact that, you know, they have connections on the ground. They're still trying to save what's left of the Christian community in Syria. And there again, the point is that our government refuses to deal with. Assad is no threat to the Christians, and the people who Assad is at war with are killing the Christians.
Ken, by your lights and your use of the word Orthodox, and the fact that the Russian culture is so tied to the Orthodox Church, do you see any connection there between, I don't know, what's going on with the Russians and their support of Assad?
Well, what I'm saying, first of all, the pastors that I talk to directly happen to be the Antiochian Orthodox Church.
Oh, I realize they're not Russian Orthodox,
And not the Russian Orthodox Church. So I'm not exactly sure as far as the Russian Orthodox Church, except for one thing. I did hear that the Russian Orthodox Church officially blessed what Putin is doing in Syria, because the Russian Orthodox Church sees, there again, the point of Assad protecting the Christians against the Muslims who are slaughtering the Christians.
Yeah, great. Well, great points, Ken. I appreciate the call. Take care.
You take care.
All right. So, Derek, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna start with what Trump said before the attack and then see what the UN's reaction was since the attack. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Hi, I'm Don Haig, co-owner of the Firing Line Gun Range and Gun Shop, located at 33,000 Ford Road, Westland, Michigan. Are you one of our hard, dedicated first responders looking to buy a defensive handgun or tactical rifle? Firing Line has the only first responders discount program in all of southeastern Michigan. We have dedicated contracts with Glock, Smith & Wesson, Sig Sauer, and Remington that will save you money. How would you like to buy a full-size Glock Gen 4 9mm or 40 caliber with three magazines for $399? Who's eligible for these great one-of-a-kind discounts, you ask? First responders are active or retired law enforcement, active or retired firefighters, all active and retired military, active police reserves, EMS personnel, security guards that work for a bonded agency. Stop by the store at 33,000 Ford Road, Westland, or call us at 734-326-7320. That's 734-326-7320. Or visit firinglineguns.com and click on the law enforcement icon.
No shots, no drills, no pain. Got your attention? I'm talking about Dr. Michael Singleton, DDS, in Saline. He's been my family's dentist for almost 30 years, and that's a long time. If you're like most people, fear keeps you from going to the dentist. But now, with the Soleil laser technology, the latest in dentistry, there's no fear. That's right. With Dr. Singleton's Soleil laser, there's no fear in going to the dentist. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's truly amazing. So stop putting off a visit to the dentist and call Dr. Michael Singleton today at 734-429-7415 or stop by at 1081 North Ann Arbor Street in Saline. Online at singletonsmiles.com. No shots, no drills, no pain.
Call Dr. Michael Singleton in Saline today at 734-429-7415. That's 734-429-7415. To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch The Drift here with Ed Bondarenka, hanging out. Ipsy Ed.
Hey, man.
Yeah, so we're talking Syria, but let's take care of a little business. If you're looking to do some renovation, Inside Out Renovations specializes in quality renovations, kitchen remodels, bathroom remodels, painting, staining, drywall, pressure washing, siding, gutters, you name it, they do it. Give them a call at 734-679-2101. That's 734-679-2101, and you can get a free estimate. Get your free estimates. They cost you absolutely nothing, and it gives you an idea what to budget for, even if you're not ready to do it right now. You can go to InsideOutRens.com, or email them at InsideOutRens@yahoo.com. All right, so we're talking Syria, right? And let's listen to what Donald Trump said after the gas attack happened and see how his outrage kind of begins. Derek, you got track one ready? Go ahead and play that.
Doctors from the World Health Organization arrived at a Turkish lab to help carry out autopsies on victims of the attack in Syria's Idlib province. Turkish health officials say the results point to possible exposure to sarin nerve agent. Abdulhamid El-Yusuf buried his nine-month-old twins Wednesday, along with their mother. The chemical attack left victims unable to breathe and foaming at the mouth and sparked international outrage.
Their deaths was an affront to humanity.
At a news conference with the King of Jordan, President Trump said the horrific images changed his view on the Syrian conflict and the regime of Bashar al-Assad.
When you kill innocent children, innocent babies, little babies, with a chemical gas that is so lethal, people were shocked to hear what gas it was. That crosses many, many lines beyond a red line.
At the United Nations.
Okay, so he's outraged, right? I think for those people who want to call Trump a shallow, whatever, I think he really is a good guy at heart. He loves kids, likes people, wants to do his best to leave a good footprint on humanity, you know. And it obviously hit him hard, but I don't believe that he went ahead and just did this because of the pictures he saw on television. Do you, Ed?
No. I mean, I hope not. Let's put it that way. I hope not. I hate to think we have a president who just, ooh, nasty pictures. throw missiles.
Yeah. Well, and here's what, you know, I have to have some faith. You know, there are a lot of people who just want to turn tail and run from Trump, right? Oh, he's not, he said he changed his whole policy. All right. Number one, he hasn't changed his whole policy. He threw 59 Tomahawks, which was an expensive way to make a statement, right?
Like $59 million, yes.
Right. So you throw these missiles out there and you make a statement. But again, he's got General Mattis on board. He's got a Rex Tillerson on board. He's got an entire cabinet full of guys. And I'm hoping that our intel community would not be throwing bad information at him.
To manipulate him, similar to they did, like, with the Russian missile threat they did to Kennedy, telling us the missile threat was much larger than it ever was in order that we would build up.
Right.
You know, I mean, intelligence agencies have been known to do this.
And like they did to George Bush, right, in Iraq, saying, oh, there's all kinds of nuclear weapons there. We're going to find something. Well, you didn't.
Yeah, there was sarin gas, which they moved out to.
And that is the part, and it's unfortunate, but that's where we are nowadays. The point is, I don't know that I trust all the people around Trump, especially in the intel community. Because you know what? If they're doing these wacky things for Susan Rice and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton— and they're still there because we haven't been able to get rid of them yet. How do we know that they're going to give accurate intel to the new president that they despise?
Yep.
You know, that's what bothers me. So, you know, again, it comes down to the fact that, you know, the Russians and the Syrians are denying it. And they're saying, listen, we hit an ammo depot dump and ISIS had a stockpile of sarin gas there. And that's what it was. Which kind of, in a way, makes sense. It would be a limited number of people would be exposed in an accidental bombing, right? I'm not convinced that it was an airdrop. And I'd like,
let's see this. Just suppose it occurred to me since we were talking prior. Just suppose you had an agent, somebody who's loading missiles, like a guy loading blanks on a stage set, right? I mean, and I was, oh, I'm sorry, I accidentally loaded the sarin gas instead of the high explosives. So basically the guy loads the sarin gas because he's been told to do this to create this incident. So actually it is Assad's Air Force does it, but basically they had no idea it was going to happen.
Right.
Because everybody agrees this makes no sense for this guy to do this.
Yeah, well, and there you go, because you know what? You just added a whole nother one. So instead of being an accidental bombing or an inadvertent bombing of an ISIS supply depot that had some nerve gas— now an ISIS sponsoring guy who works for the Assad government.
Oh, that could never happen.
Sneaks in, or he's just a sympathizer with ISIS.
Yep.
Loads the wrong bombs on. The pilot's not going to know, right? He's going to drop what he's told to drop, and he's going to drop it where he's told to drop it. And all of a sudden, we're like, oh, you know, there we go. Now we talked earlier about the drones, right? There were drones, Russian drones, ahead of time
surveying
the area. And of course, now the story is, well, the Russians were bombing that area a second time to cover up any evidence. Okay, now, as you and I talked, are they covering up evidence because they're ashamed of what Bashar did, either accidentally or on purpose, or did they instruct it and just want to hide it a little late? Right?
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to hide that. So I can't believe they would be dumb enough to try and hide it if it was something they wanted done.
It makes the head spin.
Oh, it does.
When they had the drones come in, I was thinking, boy, you could actually make a case that they wanted to see what the results of the attack of sarin gas was on a civilian population. How does it disperse? How do people react? What happens? And they droned the footage just so that they'd have the reactions.
I thought the Russians did that in the gulags up in Siberia.
Just,
we're going to send you to this nice little town. Hey, we're going to leave you here. Wow, this is a great prison.
Yeah.
And there you go, dead. Okay, let's take a quick... Derek, we got time to take a call? Yeah. Gary from Hazel Park, welcome to the show.
Hello, sir. I'd like to challenge you because a pilot should have full knowledge of what armament he's carrying. And he does a pre-flight check before he gets in that cockpit to make sure what he's armed with is what he's supposed to be armed with.
Well, in our Air Force, yes.
His
Air Force, I don't know.
I'm not sure that the Syrian Air Force is in as good a shape as what our Air Force, number one, would be. And number two, if somebody's loading something, Gary, you know, I'm not sure. Why don't you hang on through the break, Gary, and we'll discuss this, because this is a good point. Again, it leads to the craziness of what's going on. So hang tight, Gary. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you all on the other side of the break.
people are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. More details coming out about the U.S. strikes launched against Syria on Thursday.
A short time ago, a senior defense official told me less than a dozen of those Syrian jets were untouched in the Tomahawk cruise missile strike, making it likely they could be used again in the future. And that's also because the runway was also largely left unscathed.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson.
Senior officials say the strike using 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles from the two U.S. Navy destroyers was meant to send a message to the Assad regime.
The Russian president calling the strike a significant blow to its relationship with the U.S. A pastor in Ohio arrested by the FBI on charges of sex trafficking of children, and a winner in the world's toughest steeplechase, 8-year-old One for Arthur, winning the Grand National in Liverpool, England, at odds of 14-1. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The highest quality tractor in the U.S. and number one in customer satisfaction for 2015 and again in 2016 is LS Tractor, both awarded by EDA. This is Mark at Ashelman Equipment. We have a full line of LS four-wheel drive diesel tractor loaders ready to go. Forks, blades, tillers, plows, and mowers in stock, ready for all your projects. Subcompact to large farm, open or cab with heat and AC. Hydro transmissions make driving fun and easy for the whole family. Attachments are changed with just a pull of a lever. Highest quality, more features standard, 5-year warranty, free loader, and 1.59% financing qualifying. Ashelman Equipment in Whitmore Lake is at exit 50 on US 23, just north of Ann Arbor. Call 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000.
It's 2017. If you're thinking about investing in your house, now is the time. Check out woodrehab.com or call 248-506-6175. Use this year's tax refund to spruce up your house. And what better way than upgrading your tired kitchen cabinets? Wood Rehab can give your kitchen cabinets a new look at a great price. Don't replace them. You can paint or refinish without emptying your cabinets in this very non-intrusive process, which averages 7 days from start to finish. Call 248-506-6175. Ask for Dave. Woodrehab.com will give you 10% off if you mention this ad. 2017 is a great year. Get it started with a brand new kitchen. Call 248-506-6175 or go to the web at woodrehab.com and get your kitchen renovation started today.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch the Drift. Joining me in studio, Ed Bondarenka.
Hey there.
And hey, let's take care of a little business. J&M Landscaping Tree Division, they're actually hiring. They do such a good job that they're really starting to get a lot of demand. So if you're looking for a job in the tree business, he's kind of looking for some hiring of experienced tree crew guys. So give him a holler. And they've got an ad in the Current this month, currentonline.com, C-O-U. rantonline.com. They got a 20% off for a first-time customer. You can reach them at 248-640-7029. That's 248-640-7029. Or you can go to jandmlandscapingmi.com. They're licensed. They're insured. Jason removed a huge tree for me in my backyard, and you wouldn't have known they were there. It was awesome. He did a great job. So 248-640-7029. Call Jason at J&M Landscaping. Tell him you heard it here on The Drift, or you saw it in The Current, and you want to get that 20% off. Okay, so we've got Gary on line one. Gary, we were talking before the break. Your concern was that a pilot should know what he's dropping ordnance-wise, correct?
Oh, absolutely, and that was established at Nuremberg, that whoever does the act is responsible for it.
Okay. So as Ed and I were talking during the break, but what if, you know, because there was such a, you know, from a chemical weapons standpoint, only 80 people, I think, just over 80 people died, that maybe somebody altered his missiles, you know, it was tagged as a normal ordnance, you know?
Gary, I'm the resident military expert on the show because I was in the Air Force. I rode in airplanes, and I watched them fly overhead.
I'm the expert on the line because I was in the Navy on the aircraft.
Okay, so you loaded them up, right?
Yeah.
I was flight deck. I was not ordnance itself, no.
Okay. Well, that's all right. I was radio. I didn't have much to do with armaments at all. But what I'm getting at, what Gary and I were talking about is, if I ruled the world and I wanted to run an attack with nerve gas, the best dispersal of that is an airburst. It isn't burying it into the middle of a road and then watching it go poof, go off. And we're reading an article in The Guardian that described, they were the first people on the scene, it turns out. And they were talking about this crater in the ground and how the containment of the gas was very close to that area and it didn't spread. And so that, I think, kind of lends credence to the thought that somebody may have substituted some armament that wasn't supposed to be there.
Altered it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, maybe, again, that's why there was such a small amount of people. Maybe they just stuck the vial of sarin nerve agent inside
just enough
a normal
qualify
ordnance.
For getting rained on by 80 or 60 Tomahawk missiles.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, though, Gary. What else you got? Anything?
Yeah, that's a pretty Machiavellian of you, but I agree. It could happen. Anything could happen. And, yes, about the sarin gas or any gas attack, you know, we are preoccupied as a race with killing each other in war. So we try best as we can to keep it as civilized as possible, i.e. the Geneva Convention.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm all for a retaliatory attack against any nation who uses chemical weapons. No doubt about that. But we haven't established if they did yet. I mean, I don't know if we did. Maybe the president does, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But I also think there's selective outrage because 500,000 people have died by gunshots, by bombs, by artillery.
In Chicago.
By getting burned alive, by beheading. So what makes these few people more precious than the rest of them? And then our good friend Reverend Ewell this morning made the reference to the chemical abortion industry where chemicals are injected into the woman and the baby is literally dissolved alive. And there's no moral outrage in America over that. If we got to go to war about something, go to war against Planned Parenthood for slaughtering babies all day. And there's also in America, we have this sex slave trade going on that we have to acknowledge and go after. So there's plenty of problems all over the world. We don't have to go to our neighbors or across the seas to find them.
Yeah,
right
well,
here, so
you know, and I think, Gary, that's why a lot of people, you'll see them on Twitter and Facebook that are Trump supporters, but now they're kind of angry because why are we getting involved? Let's make America great first and then worry about other people. But you know what? We'll get into this next half hour, some of the other reasons for that. Thanks for the call, Gary. Great call as always.
See Gary.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Let's take a call from, hold on there, Steve in Ann Arbor. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve.
Hi. I was in the Army during the Vietnam War.
Thanks for your service.
Every week we had NBC training, nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare. Sarin gas is known in the military as GB agent. It's a binary nerve agent, which means it consists of two parts.
So they have
you
to
mix
be
those two parts, and you get gas.
Okay.
If you don't mix them, it's not dangerous to handle in and of itself. But it takes a special kind of bomb to disperse it. You can't just screw it on the end of a
missile. Ziploc bags?
Put pins on it and drop it out of the sky.
Yeah, so let me ask you, Steve, what are the other theories is, not my theory, it's other people's theories, is that ISIS may have had a stockpile of weapons there, including some chemicals of sarin gas or whatever, or whatever the binary chemicals are, and that an explosion may have somehow exposed those people to those chemical agents? Is that a possibility?
My Machiavellian idea was that actually ISIS knew that there would probably be an attack here, and they stationed a suicide bomber wearing a sarin gas vest.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, that's if we're going to put our tinfoil hats on, Ed, you're the right guy to be here for it. But, I guess I'm going to quote like what Gary said. I'm reserving my judgment on what happened because I don't know. And even that one track from the UN, they said the possibility of sarin nerve gas because the symptoms look like it. But they haven't come up with any proof yet. And forensically speaking, doggone it, we've got the ability. We should know not only if it was sarin nerve gas in the next few days, we should know whether it was an airdrop from a plane or if it was something on the ground that exploded, right?
Well, the military apparently has radar track of a flight over the area and to the airfield where they attacked, back and forth twice. And there were two bombs dropped, according to the military. I tend to not discount their theory, since they have radar and satellite imagery to back them up.
The two bombs is the first I heard.
Yeah, I haven't heard that either. But I guess from your standpoint, like I was listening to Catherine Herridge, who's one of the few journalists that I actually believe, and she's on Fox News, and she's got great contacts in the military. And she said last night, the evidence is a lock that it was Assad's forces who dropped that weaponry.
It's what she was told.
But it's what she was told.
She didn't see it.
It takes a fair amount of technical expertise to fly an aircraft and drop a bomb. So I would tend to not think ISIS was in possession of that particular technology.
Yeah, but they might have had a sarin nerve bomb, right? A shell, an artillery shell that they were able to set off, or that was just sitting there and it got struck by overhead ordnance, right? That's a possibility.
Well,
you know, I'm not trained, and I could tell a joke and drop a bomb.
And you do.
But you know what I'm saying. It's like there's a lot of theories out there, but until somebody gets to the site and takes soil samples, we're really speculating.
Yes, that's exactly right, and that's why I'm kind of reserving judgment. I wanted to go off on Twitter, and I thought to myself, you know what? I don't know the truth. I'm not sure our government even knows the full truth at this point. All I can do is hope that they will tell us the truth when that information becomes fully available.
Right.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call, Steve. Great discussion, man.
Chemical gas agents, though, is the wind can blow it away. So that's one reason they didn't use them after World War I was because they were poisoning their own people.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well great. That's exactly what he's doing is poisoning his own people.
All right. Great call. Appreciate it, Steve. Take care. Let's take a call from Joe in Wyandotte. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm a bit schizophrenic on this one myself. You know, I'm a bit suspicious like you. I'm not convinced it was Assad either, not to put on an Alex Jones tinfoil hat either, but no. I just want to speak to the whole Syria situation in general. To me, it's a strategic advantage for the U.S. to allow Assad to stay, and those countless factions, all of which are savages, all of which are willing to kill women and children, all of which will use chemical weapons if they have their hands on them, and they've been all over, and it's entirely possible for the rebels or ISIS or al-Qaeda to have gotten their hands on them during these conflicts, to continue fighting each other there in Syria for decades, having less time and effort, therefore, to meddle elsewhere and fight with us. And I understand and am sympathetic to the notion of the it's better to fight them there than over here, but it's even better to let them continue to fight each other forever.
Yeah,
you know, you talk about the factions. Pastor Dietering had, I think, I forget, Pastor Clark or something like that from Newport on, and they were talking about proof of things in the Bible. And I called in because in my Bible study, we're studying right now the book of Isaiah, where they're talking about this guy named Sennacherib, who was basically fighting Iraq at one point, or Babylon, and they were everything that was going back and forth in the Middle East, and these savage means of warfare that they would have. And we're talking about going back 3,000 years. This is no new thing to the Middle East in this exact same area.
We can be humane and concerned and the generous nation we are and create safe zones over there to help refugees. Far easier, far more cost-effective, far more humane in the long run to allow them to help them over there, let them rebuild, help them rebuild even, again, cheaper in the long run, and return them to their homeland rather than bringing them over here.
Yeah, well, I'd agree with that.
Joe,
I'd agree with that.
Joe, who benefits with the fall of Assad? Who benefits?
Yeah, we don't really, because it's going to be somebody worse most likely.
Like in Iraq, maybe? Yeah, like it happened in Iraq or Libya?
Yeah.
Libya especially, that's the big one. I mean, Syria is likely to turn into, well, less likely because Russia. Russia will prop up somebody else in the long run that benefits them.
Well, you know, let's just hope that Donald Trump puts his negotiating hat on, works with the Russians, and if they get rid of Assad, they'll get somebody who's not a head-chopping, put-you-in-a-cage, set-you-on-fire type
guy. A gentler, brutal type.
Well, great call, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right. Assad was good to the Christians. He protected the Christian minority, so I give him a little credit. And he kind of kept the peace with Israel. Yeah, he's involved with Hezbollah, but openly he was not hostile to Israel.
Right.
So,
all right. Thanks for the call.
Take care, my friends. Love you,
you
guys.
Too. You too. Bye-bye. Let's take a call from Jenny. Jenny in Brownstown. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Hi, guys. How's everybody?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm just going to make a few quick points. He didn't declare war.
Correct.
So he just went over there and, you know, kind of did what Obama hasn't done for, you know, hadn't done.
But
threatened to do. A little bit of show of this is what we can do.
Yeah, and that's the upside, Jenny, and we were going to talk about that real quick.
The downside is he didn't declare war.
Yeah, the upside is he made a statement because he's been talking since day one that he's going to be the new sheriff on the block. He's not going to take guff like Obama has done. And you know what? In one fell swoop, and maybe this was all part of the decision, I'm going to launch a bunch of Tomahawk missiles. It's going to cost me some money. Not going to do a lot of damage, but I'm going to make one heck of a statement. And that statement is not only for Assad, but it's for Russia, Iran, North Korea, and China as well to say, this is me. I'm not Obama. You think I'm not afraid to use a few Tomahawk missiles? I'm not. I'm going to go ahead and use them. So I think the upside is, whether you like his decision or not, the upside is the world is now awakened to the fact that America is not the same America that we've had for 8 years. You now have a guy in office who's not afraid to use the most powerful military on the planet, right?
That's right, and it gives me hope.
Yeah. Well, me too, Jenny. What else you got? Anything?
The other thing is I hope that now that we know now he can do this. I hope he won't do it too much more before he builds up our military so that we can handle it.
That's right. Williams International up there in Commerce Lake needs a few more engines to build, so let's replace those things before we shoot them all off, right?
Right. I mean, because Obama has wussified and depleted the military, and we've got to be able to handle things enough before we do, you know, much.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
Yep. Well, great call, Jenny. Glad to hear you.
Okay, that's it.
Take care. We'll
see you,
Jenny.
Okay.
Let's take a call from Tom in Detroit. Tom, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Real quick, you know, I wouldn't grouse too much about the 59 Tomahawks. I've been told that that's the obsolete technology.
Exactly.
Basically, they're not that accurate, and they're either subsonic or close to it.
They are. They're 500 miles an hour.
Yeah. Excuse me?
They're 500 miles an hour. These are subsonic.
Yeah, they're way subsonic then. So they were probably needed to get rid of them anyways.
Well, no, that's what Gary and I were talking about. That. This is a way of clearing inventory.
One other thing I wanted to make a kind of compressed download information is notice that the Euphrates River runs right through the middle of Iraq and Syria. And, you know, in the scriptures, in the sixth plague in Revelation, it says the Euphrates is dried up to make way for the kings of the east. And I believe that's exactly what's going on. It's not the, you know, the river itself poses no obstacle these days. So I believe it's, you know, you take it out to the, you know, to the poetic meaning. And I think that's, so there's games going on here that, you know, that are deep. And these people who are involved in these games, you know, I don't know, they probably don't know what they're doing themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they're pawns of higher powers. And I mean, that's my thoughts on that.
Yep.
Oh, I'm with you there.
Well,
that's a
great segue, Tom, for what we're going to talk about next. I appreciate the call, man. Take care.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as he said, you know, here's my concern, and this has been rattling around in my brain recently, and I told you it kind of been bothering me last night especially. And you have to look at who benefits, right? Like any case, who benefits? And why is this conflict in Syria not drying up? Who's put? It seems like it's being pushed from all kinds of edges. And so I went back and started digging, and Zero Hedge, if you've never gone to Zero Hedge, I put their stories up on the Daily Drift pretty often, and that's what we do on the show, talk about the information I put on the dailydrift.com. Make sure you go there. It's the news you need to know. But what they're talking about is the fact that Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, the oil-producing countries in that part of the world want to get a pipeline through Iraq, Syria area, and up into Europe, right, so that they can sell their fuel. And that's especially become important now that the United States isn't buying as much from them as we used to. Why? Because we're self-sufficient. And they're not going to sell it to Russia, and they're not going to sell it to China, because China can get it from Russia pretty easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking to get this pipeline through here, and they've been trying to get it through for years and years. And what else, what better way than to destabilize a part of the world so that you can put the type of dictators or governments in that would be helpful for that? Because, you know, Assad would be happy to probably do it if he gets his share.
Yeah.
And the Russians, of course, the Russians do not want that pipeline to go through unless they maybe get a kickback out of it, right? And let's frankly be honest. Here's another. You want me to put my tinfoil hat on? What if the Russians want to start a major conflict in the Middle East? Maybe they're happy with an actual nuclear engagement in the Middle East that irradiates all the Arab oil fields. Guess who's got a ton of really valuable oil then? When we can no longer pump any oil out of the Middle East because of conflict and war and radiation or chemicals, all of a sudden Russia's got the only game in town for Europe. You're going to have to buy your gas from who? Mr. Putin. So you can't put it past the fact that maybe the Russians were behind the chemical attack. Maybe they were just baiting us. Maybe they're trying to do it.
Maybe they slipped that bomb in.
Maybe you had Putin. Yeah. The KGB guys putting some sarin nerve chemicals in there. That's what I'm saying. There's something bothering me so badly that we need to look at it. And whatever information Trump worked on to run this, I hope that the Americans are smart enough not to get dragged into a war in the Middle East that's based on this false assumption of making money.
You know what I mean?
We're just trying to pump our oil from Saudi Arabia up through Turkey and Iraq and Syria, and we're going to start an entire world war or a Mideast war over it?
One thing I firmly believe in is I believe in the hand of God in our world. I really believe God's hand is in our history, and I was alluding to what Pastor Richard was talking about on his show last week. And one thing we see in Scripture is miraculous things in armies that attack Israel, and we do know that Syria was funding Hezbollah, was trying to take over and did control Lebanon for quite some time, and was a real threat to Israel's northern border. I don't know that this isn't some kind of, I don't know, divine retribution using geopolitical forces. I mean, God's been known to throw confusion into the enemy camp. Tom was alluding to Scripture in Revelation. I watch the Middle East with Revelation in mind. I don't let it dictate to me what I think is going to happen, but I try to see how the pieces fit.
Well, and it bothers me.
You know what I mean? It really does. I there is, why is it that that part of the world, and it's the oldest part of civilization on the planet, right? It should be the most advanced. It should be the most peaceful. It mm-hmm. should be the most developed part of the entire world.
Cradle of humanity.
It's cradle of humanity, and yet it is the dregs
cradle
of our world. It is the cradle of
barbarity.
Exactly. Yep. It is. It's just insane the way that part of the world continues to deteriorate. And now what's really maddening is we're exporting that deterioration into Europe.
Mm-hmm.
The Sweden, that terror attack yesterday,
yep.
that was a Muslim, right?
Yeah.
A Muslim immigrant from Uzbekistan, which is close enough. It might as well be the Middle East, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was obviously radicalized by radicals from the Middle East. As it's like a cancer. It's spreading. You know, I say this on Twitter all the time, and I'm surprised they haven't blocked me yet. I'm like, let's just quarantine the Middle East. Frankly, stop it. Build a wall, build defenses, you know, and if you want to be there, you're there. You want out, you better renounce all your barbarism, you know, your Sharia, everything else. You leave it behind, you go through decon, and you can come out. Otherwise, you're stuck there.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because Russia's southern border is all threatened by Uzbekistan, all these stands. You know, and Chechnya, and they're seeing a lot of this threat of Islamic radical terrorism on their southern border. I'm surprised they don't build a wall.
Yeah. Well, what I do want to do with this show, because I feel like it was my destiny today to come into the show, is to at least get people talking about it. Go to the Daily Drift. I've got some stories on that I want you to read. I want you to spread around and get it out on social media, because we need to be asking these questions. Who is behind the destabilization of the Middle East? Who's behind the chemical weapons that are going off? Is it Assad? Ask yourself. If it makes sense, where's the proof?
What globalist benefits?
What globalists, what end new world order mm-hmm. is behind this that is trying to get a war started here? And, you know, it's odd that John McCain, right, Traitor John, spent time there yet again just recently, and all of a sudden we have another. You gave me an article today that I couldn't print it off because my printer took a junk.
It was from strategicculture.org.
All right, strategicculture.org, and I'm going to put that up on the Sunday Daily Drift, so you'll be able to get to it. But it talks about how Hillary Clinton may have helped move sarin nerve gas into the hands of ISIS.
Via Benghazi.
So the United States is not saintly here. I mean, our hands are dirty via the last administration and Hillary Clinton, right? Okay, so, Derek, we're running out of time. I do wanted to get one last sponsor in here. It's Saturday night. If you have not ever been to Burroughs Roadhouse, you need to go to Burroughs Roadhouse. Tonight they've got a comedy show. Mike Lozinski, very funny guy. You can get out there. They've got great food. You've got a call to make reservations if you want to do the comedy show. 810-227-6000. 810-227-6000. Or you can go to burroughs-roadhouse.com. Great place, great atmosphere. And check them out, 810-227-6000 for Comedy Night at Burroughs Roadhouse. Okay, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Get the news
you need to know.
And we'll see you guys next week. Take care.